Andy Griffin Show. Time to call in with your gripes, opinions, theories, and conspiracies. Here's your chance. Don't blow it. Only on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. I was a little late getting that thing started because I was engrossed in reading of articles as I get ready for today's show. But it's good to be here. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show on this Friday. I'm Andy. Over there is Mello. Say hi, Mello. Uh-oh, your microphone's not working. We might have to flip. Is the middle green button pushed as well as the red button? Middle green above the thing. She's working on it. No, not yet. All right, we'll have to come tinker with that in a couple of minutes. But yeah, welcome to the program. 909 on KDXU. I wouldn't call myself a technophobe. I embrace technology. My career in writing and publishing on the internet and, of course, radio has been, you've got to be okay with technology to do my job. My predecessor on this program, Mike McGarry, actually was one of the few holdouts. He did not embrace tech. He didn't love technology. And there are certain things in the job that he didn't do because he wasn't into technology, and they were cool with it. He was the things he did do, he was good at, and so they're like, all right, well, you do what you can do, and what you know, technology stuff you don't do, that's fine. When I took the job, I wasn't as good as Mike in some areas, but I was better than Mike in other areas, and so they started piling some stuff on my plate that Mike didn't have because it was technology stuff that I was like, oh man, I shouldn't have told them I knew how to do this. That's the way things work out. But this is all, again, a prelude to what I was going to say, and that I got a new telephone, a new phone. It's not a 15. I did not jump on the iPhone 15 wagon yet. It's an iPhone 14. My 10, it wasn't holding a charge anymore and stuff. It just felt like I had to make a move. So I have a 14 here. I just barely got it working this morning as far as connecting, getting the phone number transferred over. One of the frustrations, though, when you get a new phone is none of your apps come over. And all those things that you sign into and automatically sign into with your phone, I've got to go out and find all my passwords again and everything. So one good thing, though, is the text line does work. So if you want to text me, that's still available, 435-467-5842. I have not figured out how to get email yet on my phone, but I can get text. So if you want to text me again at 435-467-5842. 42 is the phone number. An interesting note in the news the last couple of days. In fact, it stems from a posting on Facebook from, a week or two ago. And then our newsman, Stockton, doing a great job on the news, followed up on it. And basically, the story is about how, okay, this lady was married to a black man, had a couple of daughters. She's a white lady. She had two mixed-race children. She went on social media after the first week of school and said that her mixed-race children somebody had used a racial slur, the N-word, I guess, if you want to get specific, on these two children. And she said she was beyond frustrated because she had changed schools many, many times. In fact, she had moved into the area a few years ago and had changed schools several times because she felt like her kids were being racially discriminated against. She said within a week at her new high school, I think she either moved from Crimson to Dixie or from Dixie to Crimson. I forget which way it was, those boundaries. The kids are still elementary school age kids or junior high or whatever. But they said both daughters had been discriminated. People had used that word against them. And she kind of was basically taking the blanket idea of this is a racist community because our kids, you are not teaching your kids to be respectful of all people of all races, and my gut response was, well, wait a minute, she is doing what she's telling us not to do. She is stereotyping everyone. Now, I'll preface this by saying, first of all, she's talking about her children and how her children feel. And this is, of course, it's a very, very important topic. And when it's your children, I mean, you know, most parents, not all, but most parents will do anything for their child. And if their child gets their feelings hurt, you know, the hackles, your hackles get raised, the hair on the back of your neck, you know, you want to do something. You want to get somebody. I mean, someone hurts my child, even if it's just with words, you want to make them pay. You want to figure out why they did that, and you know, you want to get them to stop, and you want to make people pay, you know, in some respect. And so she went to social media. It was then picked up by local, you know, real media, and you know, she got her 15 minutes in the spotlight to talk about this. But I personally believe this, and maybe some people will disagree. I don't think this is a racist town, and I don't think we raise racist children for the most part. And here's my argument. And first of all, she's like, I have white privilege coming out of my ears. I don't believe that's true either. But what I hear is this person saying that Southern Utah is racist, that our children are being raised to be discriminatory against one gender. Or excuse me, one race, and I don't see it. And here's what I kind of base this off of. And you know, there are those of color who will disagree with me, but kids are kids, especially when you're talking about fifth grade through ninth grade, even 10th grade. Kids are stupid, and I don't mean that they're not smart. I mean that they do stupid things. They're trying to figure out their way through life. And you know, I was a big guy. They used to call me the Jolly Green Giant when I was in junior high school. They used to call me Lurch. They were really, you know, when you're 13 years old and you're sensitive about your looks or your size or your whatever, guess what? Kids are going to make fun. Kids do that. And I don't think there's any amount of training that we can give our kids. No matter how hard we try, you know, when you're 12, 10, 11, 12, 13, you're going to do stupid things. You're going to say stupid things. And, you know, for me, it bothers me that she is, again, a blanket stereotypical coverage of, well, you know, you're racist, period. And I don't think that's fair to say that everyone is racist. I remember one kid. This is, I want to say, eighth grade, maybe, in middle school. And the kid had a big, giant pimple right in the middle of his forehead. Right? And guess what? Kids called him Zitface for like 6 weeks. He got called Zitface. And, you know, and to me, you can say, well, it's not the same thing. Well, it kind of is the same thing because kids say stupid things. They do stupid things. You know, the kid is a little overweight. They call him fatty or porky or whatever. You know, you got a kid with a limp. They call him limpy or cripple or whatever. That's what kids do. And I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying no matter how hard you try to teach kids not to do these things, it happens. There are kids out there that are, you know, they're going to pick out something that's different, whether it's their race or their gender or their hair or the, you know, a pimple on their forehead or their height or their weight, whatever it is, their kids are going to pick that out and they're going to make fun of it. Are you with me now, Mella? Did we get that figured out? Still nothing? All right. We'll keep working on that. So if you have thoughts on this matter, 673-5890 is the phone number. Mello, you'll be able to hear. I won't be able to hear, but you'll be able to hear if you call in. She'll be taking your call and kind of getting your name and your thoughts. It's 673-5890. If you are more comfortable texting me, please do it. 435-467-5842. I guess the reason I brought this whole topic up is I understand her feelings, and if my kids had their feelings hurt, I would want to investigate and find out who did it and why. But I don't know that this is a real issue, a real topic. You know, it came out today that the school district is going to provide additional training for the teachers to be more sensitive to racial issues. I was at a football game last Friday night. They stopped the game. They literally stopped the game. The official turned on his little field mic and came on and said, "The game has been suspended temporarily while we deal with a racial issue." And come to find out, one of the referees thought he heard one of the players say something racially insensitive to one of the players on the other team, which I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't on the field. I don't know the official. I'm not trying to call anybody out, but I can tell you this, that seems pretty extreme. I don't know if anything really was said. I can tell you there was a couple of examples recently in sports where people thought they heard something when they were actually wrong and there was no corroborating evidence. One of them was at a Houston Astros baseball game, and the mascot, you know how goofy mascots are, right? The mascot's dancing on the dugout, and this guy's trying to get the mascot's attention. And I think I wish I could remember. Maybe I can Google real quick the Houston Astros mascot name. I'm going to do that right now. Astros mask. Anyway, the guy was trying to get it's Orbit. The mascot's name was Orbit. He was trying to get the mascot. He had some little kids with him. He wanted Orbit, the mascot, to come over and kind of play with his little kids, maybe get a couple of pictures or whatever. But the mascot either ignored him or didn't hear him. So he kept saying, "Orbit, hey, Orbit, Orbit, Orbit." Somehow, somebody in the dugout, right below where the mascot was dancing, thought they heard a racial slur. I don't know how you get a racial slur out of, "Hey, Orbit, Orbit, hello, Orbit, come here, Orbit." But anyway, there was a big to-do about it in the media. They actually tried to find the fan. They were going to ban him for life for using a racial slur at the game, et cetera, et cetera. Well, once they talked to witnesses around this whole situation, they realized he was trying to get the mascot's attention. There was no racial slur. Nobody ever said anything, the N-word, or you know, they weren't making fun of the Hispanics on the team. None of that actually was real. And so the organization, the people that run the stadium there at Minute Maid Park, had to issue an apology to the guy and to anyone who might have been offended by the article. He didn't say anything racist. Another one happened just last year at a BYU volleyball match. This lady swore that somebody was saying, every time she went to serve. Now, BYU volleyball is one of the top volleyball programs in the nation. So it was a packed house. There were literally 2,000, maybe 3,000 people in this little gymnasium cheering on BYU. And I forget the team there, SMU or somebody like that. But the player, who is of African-American descent, said that someone kept using the N-word against her every time she went to serve. And she made a big deal of it in post after the match. And in fact, the coach for that team, and maybe it was Connecticut, I forget who it was. Anyway, the coach from that team and a coach from another team said, "We're not going to BYU. We will forfeit our games there rather than go and be subjected to the racist BYU fans." Well, after hundreds, literally hundreds of interviews of people in the area of where this supposedly took place, BYU determined that there was never, they even had videotapes and audio tapes of the area. No racial slur was actually ever uttered. The woman was, the girl that made the big deal out of it was either mistaken or she was just looking for attention. Either way, it didn't happen. And yet, you know, well, there was really much ado about nothing is what it turned out being. But I just, you know, to me, I feel like we have gone so far in the sensitivity of this country that we're making, there's ghosts in our attic. We're making things up. We're hearing, "Oh, I heard something. It must be a ghost." Well, someone said something that sounded sort of like a racial slur, so let's boycott them. And that's kind of how I feel. I don't discount the fact that this happened to these kids in school. I don't discount that at all. And I understand a mom's need to just to be angry and to why are you hurting my children? But to make it a huge story and to point a finger collectively at the whole county, at the whole school district, and then to the point where Steve Dunham and the folks at Washington County School District have now outlined a new program to train the teachers to be more racially sensitive and to teach the teachers to teach their children to be more racially sensitive in certain words you don't use. And you know, I don't think that's necessary. I don't think our kids are racist. I don't think our county is racist. I don't believe that even one bit. I think that kids sometimes say stupid things. And just as somebody used an N-word on that little girl, you know, that 10, 11, 12-year-old girl, somebody used the F-word, fat, against me when I was, you know, in fourth grade or whatever. And in middle school, I was taller than the other kids, so I was either Lurch or the Jolly Green Giant. And it wasn't about racism. It was about stupid kids doing stupid things. And that happens. Stupid kids do stupid things. Should someone be held accountable for that? I mean, it's worth reminding our kids not to do stupid things, but is it going to stop them from doing stupid things? No. Kids have been doing stupid things for a long, long time. As long as there have been kids, kids have been doing stupid things. That's just the way things are. So, like I said, I just kind of felt like it was much ado about really not nothing, but much ado, maybe overreaction. All right, let's talk with Ryan for a minute. Ryan's on line one. Hey, Ryan, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Andy, thanks. This is a great topic. You know, define racism, because I hear black people call each other all the time. And I hear Mexicans call people from their own ethnicity or ethnic group names that if I called them that, I'd be tarred and feathered and strung up and left out to dry.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I have a son that I adopted. He's black, and I'm not. He went to school over here at Dixie State and actually ran for student body at one point in time. And he said, you know, I asked him, why are you running? And he says, well, because I want to make a difference. And I says, well, tell me about your platform. He says, well, I'm running on diversity. And I said, I wouldn't vote for you. And he says, what do you mean, Dad? I says, I wouldn't vote for you. I says, because all diversity is, to me, is divisive. I says, you want people to vote for you because of the color of your skin. And I said, you're more than that. I said, you're a lot more than that. And I says, but you want that to define you, but yet if somebody else uses that to define you, they're a racist, and you don't like it. He told me when he was dating, I said, I haven't seen you date any black girl. He says, Dad, I won't marry one. And I called him a racist pig, and he looked at me, he says, what do you mean? I says, think about it. I says, you're discriminating on a young woman that could be just totally awesome based on the color of her skin.
Good point. Yeah, great point.
And he kind of looked at me, and it kind of like, I'm still not going to marry one. I says, well, that's fine, dude. I says, I don't have a problem with that. But I said, think about what you're doing. You're prejudging somebody based on the color of their skin, and you don't want that to happen to you, but yet you're totally fine. You're doing it to somebody else. And, you know, we need to call it for what it is. All racism is it's a word that's been derived by the left to divide us. That is their whole game plan, is to divide us, to make us angry at each other. And if we continue to allow it to go on, then they win. If we don't, we have to call them on it. You know, and it just, I don't think I've got a racist bone in my body.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate the thoughts. Yeah, it's funny how close the words diversity and division or divisity, that's not a word, but are so close to each other. You think about that. Yesterday was the anniversary of the Salem witch trials. where I think it's a dozen. I don't know. Somebody can look out of how many. I know several women, more than eight, because I think the last of them were eight women were hung because they were accused by children of being witches. To the point where they went through a trial and they had, you know, eyewitnesses and they had all these things. And women were literally killed. They were hung because they were quote unquote witches. There's no such thing as witches. They weren't witches, but it's the same kind of thing. There was a certain hysteria involved with, well, gosh, I've got to, you know, these people are different from me. And so we're going to get all worked up and we know what happened there. Salem witch trial. 14 women and 5 men were killed. Thank you, Milo. Appreciate that. I also got a couple of texts from folks reminding me it was Duke University that made the accusations against BYU at that volleyball match. And two dogs. Wait, what? The two dogs? They were witches' assistants, or I don't know. We'll have to look that one. Anyway, yeah, it was a Duke player, and Michael texts, and he says, I read that the Duke player who accused BYU of racial slurs was the head of the BLM, the Black Lives Matter movement, at Duke University. Does that change how you feel about the whole thing? Kind of does me, too. I think maybe the... This is maybe stupid. Chill out. Maybe that's the word. Chill out. You know, let's settle down a little bit. Kids are going to say mean things. I'm not dismissing that these kids' feelings were hurt. But kids are going to say mean things. My feelings were hurt, gosh, every day in middle school. Somebody was always saying something mean and stupid in middle school, right? Honestly, let's be honest about this. And it didn't have to do with color of skin. It had to do with if you weren't exactly like them, they were going to pick out some. You know, it's like a guy that gets hired to draw caricatures. What do? They magnify something that's different about you. That's what middle school kids do. They find what's different about you, and then they make fun of it. And it's not racism. It's stupidity. But it happens because they're kids. All right, we'll leave that for now. I have a little bit later in the show. I'm hoping we can get Mello's mic working. We're going to talk about ways to find peace in your life. Ways to find peace in your life. I have a little bit of a list I want to go through. Hopefully we'll have time for the list. And it's just a lot of it is about making your life quieter. And I don't mean literally, well, partially literally quieter, but also quieter in your mind. We'll talk about that when we come back. Let's do weather now.
Not afraid to tell it like it is.
A very smart cookie.
The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Tied up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show. Sometimes you want to go where everybody
it
knows
was. 42 years ago today, this show made its debut on NBC television. Cheers. Yeah. Norm, Cliff, Sam, Diane, Carla, Woody. Actually, Woody didn't come along until like season 3 or something. It was Coach on the first couple of years. But yeah, cheers. I love that program. Great show to watch. I think I'll turn it down now, though, as we talk. Kind of finish up some of our thoughts on racism. I think, Mello, I think we got your microphone working again, right?
Is it working?
Yes, oh, there she is. Yes, there she is. So in reaction to this lady's claims or this lady's complaints, the Washington County School District, and we're talking a bit again about a lady who said that some kids used the N-word against her biracial daughters, and she's pretty broke up about it. In fact, she says she... I guess I'm not familiar with the modern slang. She says she lost her crap at 2:00 in the morning, which I think means she like started crying and got upset. But I that's not
unhinged.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's probably a little better one. But anyway, Washington County School District took the claim very seriously. They have started a program for their teachers. They're going to instruct their teachers on racial sensitivity. The teachers are then to pass that on to the students. Here's Steve Dunham. Check this out.
You know, I think our changes are really about helping
everybody, including staff, students, and parents, realize that diversity is a positive thing in our community. We don't want everybody to be the same. It's about diversity. This is an instruction really on humanity, about kindness, about the positives that can come from working with others who are different, about having friends that are different, and about how that strengthens us. So it really is more, I would say, more a training than a curriculum.
All right, I'm going to ask Mello right out. Do we need more sensitivity training, Mello? Is that something we're lacking?
I think people in general, especially middle schoolers, are just mean. So I think that that it doesn't hurt to teach people inclusivity. But I think the more you spread diversity, the more you divide. Instead of humankind, it's like, oh, this is this race and this is that race. We're all part of the same human family. And once we embrace that, then I think there'll be less division. It's just separating them by race. Why are you still dividing by race? We're all part of the human family.
I went to a junior high school in Texas, and I'm not saying this because I'm better than everybody else. I'm just saying this is the fact. That junior high school had 60% Hispanics, about 25% African Americans, and the rest of us were white folk, as they say. And I didn't feel like I needed a banner saying, you know, white lives matter, and you know, these, you know, everybody's speaking Spanish in the hallways, and I never felt that way. It was just life. I was just there, and you know what? People were mean to me, and I was probably mean to, hopefully not too much, but I was probably said stupid things to other kids, and that's the way life is.
Yeah. My husband grew up, and he lived on the Indian reservation. His parents were teachers, and he was the odd man out, and he was bullied too. And it's sad that kids are kind of mean like that. I think that teachers do need to like pay attention, because I have had daughters bullied at school before too. And parents and teachers kind of need to be that voice for those students. So I can appreciate the mom wanting to make sure that that doesn't happen to her kids.
Yeah, I agree. But I will say this, like you said, I mean, kids are mean. Kids do stupid things. And, I think I would have been more mortified if my parents said, you know, some kid kept calling me Jolly Green Giant. I'd have been mortified if my parents would have gone to the principal, and then that kid's parents had to come in, and there was a big deal made about this kid making fun of me. I'd have been like, no, I can deal with it myself. That's fine.
True.
So you can hear the phones going off again. If you want to call 673-5890, if you have thoughts on the topic. One of the things I will add to this, a good friend, was a college football coach for many, many years. I'm not going to use his name, but he's a local guy. And he said the crazy thing for him was the fact that, so he would go to practice, and he recruited, you know, nationally from Seattle and L.A. and even Hawaii and other places. And he said, they would call each other these racially insensitive names. They would, you know, a black kid would call a black kid the N-word. And, you know, and a Hawaiian kid would call the other Hawaiian kid these words. He said they would say it all the time, so much so that it became commonplace in practice to hear it all the time. And then he said, but if I were to say it once in any kind of public setting, I would be fired. They would practically, not literally, but practically string him up for saying those types of things. And so, I think, again, we've got to just chill out a little bit, mellow out a little bit, not get offended and upset by all this stuff. I know kids are going to get upset, but yeah, was I upset? You know, when they call me Jolly Green Giant, would, you know, my friend upset if they called him fatty or whatever words they were using? You know, the guy with the pimple on his forehead, when they called him zit face? Yeah, we were upset. Yeah, it hurt. I didn't like getting made fun of.
We were tougher.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. It was just one of those things. You just dealt with it and you moved on. I remember, I've told the story before, and we'll get to the phone line here in a second, but it was, I think, third grade. I don't remember the exact, second or third grade. We had a substitute teacher. And you know, in cursive, if you write the cursive A for Andy, if you don't close that A, it looks like a C-I. So this teacher, the substitute teacher's in class, and she's calling roll, and she gets to the G's, and she goes, Cindy, is Cindy here? And, of course, nobody raised their hands. And she's like, Cindy, are you here, Cindy? And I kind of was like, do you mean Andy? And she looks down again and she goes, oh, yeah, I guess that could be an A. Andy, are you here? Well, that was me.
Oh, no.
And guess what? I got called for like a month, maybe longer, in third grade. Hey, Sandy, I like your curls. Yeah, I mean, kids are mean. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jan is on line one. What's up, Jan? Having a hard time understanding you, Jan. I don't know if you're on speaker and can take it off, or if you're not on speaker, maybe you can put it on, but it's very hard to understand you.
Try this.
Oh, much better. Yep. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we don't have enough information on what actually happened and what efforts were made to address it before this woman went to social media, because social media isn't where you go to take care of the issues.
Good point.
Typically in the old days, whether it be race or anything else that happened between children, the children and the parents would talk about it. The parents might take it to the school and sit down with the teacher or the principal. How many times did it happen? How many children were involved? What exactly was the situation? I think there needs to be a little investigation and work it out and take care of the situation. I don't think that changing schools is going to make a difference, because I think it's just individuals being individuals. And we're not a racist community, and perhaps the mom is a little oversensitive to that. But I know in my ward we have so many mixed, and you name it, and everybody's the same, and everybody's loved the same, and the kids are loved the same, and I know a little bit about racial issues, because I grew up back east in the 60s, and when I wrote college term papers about the issues and the history of race in our country and other parts of the world, and so I was there. I mean, I was a big, one-third of my friends were black. That was the school that I went to, and it didn't make a difference to anybody.
Yeah. Content of the character, right, Jen?
I just kind of feel that the mom may be a little oversensitive, and that the issue needs to be taken care of at the source.
Well said. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that. And I agree 100%. We need a little more investigation, find out some more of the details. Hopefully, she went to social media first. And then she went to the authorities, and you know, to me, it's like, well, let's get a little more specifics on this, because the original post, I read the original post way back when, a couple of weeks ago, was pretty much, I've moved all these schools and everyone keeps calling my daughters the N-word. And to me, the original post was very accusatory of us. And I take offense with that. Not enough, though, to post it on social media and you know, call everybody else mean. But, Mellow, you doing okay over there?
Doing yeah. So good. All it's right, a beautiful good. Day.
It's 9:46 on KDX. We'll take a commercial break. When we come back, I promise we'll get you quickly through a list of how to bring more peace into your life after this. Welcome back, 9:50 on KDXU. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go right to the phone line. Richard on line one. Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling.
Morning, Andy. Happy Friday.
Yeah, to you too. Weekend's coming.
Hey, you ever see that movie, Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah, a long, long time ago, but yeah, they propped him up.
Well, did you hear about that senator from California, Dianne Feinstein?
Yeah, yeah.
She fell off the prop. She was voted yesterday. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
She hasn't been able to understand what's going on for the last couple of years.
Makes you wonder.
Who, yesterday.
Maybe somebody had their hand up her back and was making her, you know, like a puppet kind of thing, a Muppet.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So what's that going to do with the sentence numbers? Isn't it about even now?
Well, if memory serves, Senate is two votes heavy for Democrats, so this will still make it a one vote heavy thing. Or was it even? I guess it was even. But bottom line is they're going to get someone appointed as fast as they can. And guess who's going to do the appointing? Have you heard this? It's going to be California Governor Gavin Newsom appointing the
intern. He's fair-minded, ain't he?
Yeah. Pretty unbiased there, huh?
I don't know. We've got so many stand-in senators now. It's a joke. You listen to half of them, and most of them need to retire 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate you calling in. Let's talk peace for just a couple of minutes, and Mello's going to join us. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
All right. Making Space for Silence is the name of an article. It's on intellectualtakeout.org. And just real quickly, I want to go through this list because we only have a few. Oh, and she's got to get the phone first. Here are some ways to make space for silence, some peace in your life. Just real quick words of advice for you. Oh, she's back. Yeah, it was quick. Okay, number one. Again, the title is Making Space for Silence or Peace in Your Life. Number one, shut off technology.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Mello, you have a job. My wife, Samely, has a job where you rely heavily on the telephone, on your little cell phone and getting texts and, you know, hey, somebody's going to make an offer, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to put the phone down, push it away from you, and not look at it for a certain period of time?
I've actually started putting timers on my apps.
Really?
To prevent me from staying on like Instagram or social media too long. So I'll do like a half hour timer, and then it'll give me a time limit. Say your time's up, and I'm like, okay, thanks.
Good for you. Good piece of advice. Mm-hmm. Time yourself. I never did this, although I was given advice once that put your kids on a timer when it comes to video games. Okay, say, okay, you got 60 minutes, and in 60 minutes, I'm going to shut it off. Well, the kids will tell you, oh, I'm playing an online game, and my crew is counting on me. I mean, so I never did it, but I thought, you know, that's actually not a terrible idea. If they know, okay, you got 7 minutes left, you better start making plans and exit strategy for your game or whatever it is. So
I actually do that for my son's Switch.
Good for
I
you.
I have a two-hour time limit on there, and nice. It kicks him off.
All right, number two, after shut off technology, go outside. Gosh, we grew up, Mello and I, in an era where after school, maybe you had to do a little homework or whatever, maybe a couple of chores, but then what did we do all night?
We played outside until it was time to come home when it got dark.
That's right. And, you know, especially after dinner, you go, especially, you know, summertime, you maybe eat dinner at 5 o'clock, and then from 6 till whenever it got dark, man, you were just out doing whatever, just playing. Not causing trouble, I don't think, just out there enjoying the great out-of-doors.
It was amazing childhood.
So, that's number two. Number three, eat alone or eat just your family. Don't eat watching the TV. Try not to eat out every night. You know, I guess some people are into DoorDash, getting the food delivered to them if you had to. But find some time. Dinner should be a peaceful time. It really should.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, number four, single task. Now, what this means, little ordinary tasks are gifts. Doing the dishes, getting the mail, folding laundry, brushing our teeth. So don't try to do three things at once. And you may be good at multitasking, but there are certain tasks you just need to devote the entire time to. You know, I mean, we get so busy in our brains. Okay, I got to do this and this and this. I think I'll do them all at the same time. So key number four to a little piece in your life is single task instead of multitask. Okay. Next one, create dedicated quiet time. Now, I've never been a meditation. Mello, are you a meditation person? Do you sit and meditate?
I do meditate on time. And I like to do like a gratitude walk in the morning.
Okay.
So when I do my walk, I talk to myself about all the things I'm grateful for.
That's good. That's different. See, I've never been a meditate guy because I kind of feel like I can meditate while I'm also, you know, laying there taking a nap or you know, whatever other thing I can be doing. And I say don't multitask, but meditation, you can really devote your entire attention to meditating if you're doing something like putting your feet up or whatever.
Yeah, I like guided meditations too.
Guided.
Mm. They have those on Apple iTunes, and Wayne Dyer has a really good one that you can just listen to and kind of participate with.
Okay, here's the next one. Pick up a silent activity Let's see how much time we have. We're down to 3 minutes. So what do we mean by science, quiet activity? How about drawing, painting, crocheting, walking? You mentioned that. Gardening, hiking, praying, and biking. It doesn't have to be completely silent. Maybe you go do it with your, you know, your significant other, your SO, or your wife or husband or whatever it may be. I really relish the times when my wife and I are alone and we can just sit and enjoy each other's company, maybe talk a little bit about the grandkids or about the bills or whatever it is, but we're pretty much alone. I really relish those times. Here's the next, I think it's number 7, fight distractions. When we are intentionally resting or being silent, our minds will inevitably get distracted. Change, even restful change, isn't easy. To solve this, try to consistently keep a brain dump handy. This can be a handwritten list, a note on your phone, or whatever works for you. Then write down anything that's on your mind and your to-do list and dump it out of your, so it's written down, so it's covered, right? It's written down. But then you don't have to think about it anymore until it's time to actually get it done. I like that one a lot. Fight distractions. Brain dump. Get it all out of your head. So, all right. Mello, have you had any success in brain dumping, getting it out of your head, maybe getting it down on a list where you can then just kind of not even think about it until it's time to actually address it?
That does help with, I'm trying to do that with like clutter in my house. Like different areas in my house that I want to reduce clutter and writing all those down. And then when I have time, going to those spaces and clearing those, like physical clutter.
Mello has, I guess it's a business, right, that you help people organize? Is that?
Yeah, it's called Organize Me. I don't do it very much now, just for older clients that I've already worked with. And I just go in and just clear out spaces, organize spaces. Help people.
You help people with peace. Declutter their lives. Peace. And it, you know, it's not on the list, but to me, that's big. If you have a space in your home or wherever that is free of clutter, that is just an empty space, a space that just feels peaceful, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
It does. It makes a big difference.
9:58 on KDXU again, St. George, Washington County. You're not racist. Our kids can be stupid sometimes, but you're not
racist.
Can I
tell you one thing real quick? We just had a caller, Paul, called in, and he was a bus driver for the school district, and two girls accused him of calling him the N-word.
They accused him of him saying it.
Yes, yes. And he had to have an investigation, and they went and reviewed the footage, and there was, because they have video cameras, and there was no truth to it.
Yeah.
But it's just sad that they would use that because they got in trouble the day before.
It teases my brain now, but somewhere back in time, someone once said that I said something racist-ish to someone else, and it never happened.
Yeah.
And it's not a good feeling when people say you're an unfair, selfish, racist person.
No, thank goodness for video cameras now, right?
Yeah, good point. We're out of time, 9:59 on KDXU. Thanks so much for listening. I love Washington County, I love St. George, and I don't think you're racist. Our kids might be dumb occasionally, but they're kids. See you Monday.